Hi everybody. Thank you so much for coming to this tour space today. We're just going to give it a few more minutes as we wait for all the speakers to come on stage and for more people to settle in. So we'll start shortly in a minute or two. I think we're just waiting for Fawn from the band team to get on stage. Fawn, if you're in the chat, can you request to be a speaker? Or yeah, if you see any requests, can you just shoot us a message on Telegram if there's any issues? Awesome. I thank you so much for joining us on stage, guys. So thank you all for attending and joining our Twitter space. We'll be discussing Oasis and two of our infrastructure partners, being represented by Lei Bing from the Covalent team and Fawn from the band team. If you guys want to just do a brief introduction to yourselves, your sort of career in Web3 has been like, and your protocol, that's a good place to be.
Hi, so I'm Fawn. I'm from Band Protocol. I am the CSO, so I look after all of the business side of things. I've joined Band for like a year. We work on being an Oracle solution provider to all chains and dApps in the space, basically.
Hi guys, I'm Lei Bing. I work as DevRel at Covalent. So I've been in the Web3 space for around 2 years. I was at Covalent for a year and a half. Before that, I was interning at this Singaporean Layer 1 called Zilliqa. It's our national pride. Yeah, and that was when I sort of like got into ins and outs of the blockchain space, and here we are. So Covalent is a data API company. We basically index blockchains and provide the data to developers in a neatly packaged format for all sorts of use cases. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And then I'm Will, I'm Ecosystem Growth Manager at Oasis. And so I sort of work with our BD team as well as our community, our engineering and marketing team, and all things that will help, you know. For those of you who are maybe not familiar with Oasis, just wanted to give them a brief background and introduction to the what our product is doing. We're a layer one blockchain protocol focused on privacy and confidential computing. And our most recent network or product that we launched, and probably of today's Twitter spaces, our network called Oasis Sapphire. It's the industry's first ever confidential EVM supporting smart contracts with encrypted state, or you call them confidential smart contracts. But essentially, you know, it's the first blockchain where contracts can be written in Solidity and have all the infrastructure that exists from the EVM, but also can create smart contracts that are not transparent. And so, you know, I think about examples like gaming, DeFi. What does this look like? Well, like right now in gaming, if you try to build like a let's say a card game, you have to take some of the aspects of the game off chain, right? Because you need privacy. You can't know what the other player's cards are, like what's in their hands, and you also can't know the state of the deck. And so building that on a transparent blockchain is pretty impossible due to the fact that you'd just be able to see these states, and then you'd be able to know basically what cards are coming and what the other player's hands are. In like a strategy game, there's a guess like Fog of War, where like you can't see areas of the map, or you can't see like the re where certain resources are or something like that. And again, just not possible on other chains. Even like in like RPG games, there's like these ideas of quests, puzzles, and riddles, where again, like they have to have an unknown solution, or else it's not really a game. And all areas are, you know, areas we think that we can improve on, and we can allow for more sophisticated smart contracts that'll things they put on chain, which I think is, you know, the overall goal of Web3. And so that's just a bit about Oasis, a brief example of like how it can be used in different sectors. And yeah, so with that, I'd love to, you know, obviously we think confidentiality and confidential compute, and yeah, confidentiality and confidential compute are like large industry, large issues in the industry that, you know, problems that can be solved. But I'd love to hear from the Covalent team and the band team, like what are some of the issues that you guys see, and what are the problems that you are aiming to solve? So maybe Lei Bing, you can start.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a very broad question. And if you ask me, honestly, there's many, many critical problems with the blockchain industry. Of course, like last 2 years, in fact, hasn't been the best time for this industry. And like the events of the last 2 years highlighted various problems, right? Like things to do with transparency. Things to do with bad actors, things to do with a lot of projects that turn out to not fulfill their promise, etc. So, I mean, all these are things that's happening. On the covalent front, we don't purport to solve all problems, obviously. We solve a very specific and niche problem for our developers, right? And the chief problem is data access. There's so many blockchains, so many protocols. And sometimes when you query the data on chain, they're all in different languages. They're all in like very point query formats. The blockchain database is different from the SQL database, right? Which gives you aggregated data. So that makes understanding high-level questions with the blockchain very, very complicated, especially if you are creating multi-chain apps, etc. So Covalent comes into the picture by like aggregating the data, packaging them into neater formats, into our API, REST API endpoints, And then providing it to developers. Like, for instance, if you need to get all transactions of a wallet address or smart contract, you can just make one API call and you get every single thing, right? You can also download it in like CSV or Google Sheets formats. So that really empowers both developers and analysts or like community members to really get down to what kind of on-chain data that is on a blockchain. And hopefully that gives more transparency, which is the theme of today's talk as well, to blockchains and the space in general. That's from the Covalent side.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean that's it's a niche problem, but it's also a large problem, right? So it has it fills a lot of use cases, and similar to what I was saying with confidential compute and privacy, it enables higher degrees of sophistication in smart contracts, right? Like, because basically without that data, you're limited in how complex you can build, and so and as well as like the user experience that goes with your application. If you can't
Absolutely.
create like these analytical tools and things of that nature. Fawn, would you like to give a little bit about, the issues that Band is aiming to solve?
Yeah, sure. So I would take it from like the other side of Liebig. So Band actually on Ramp will provide off-chain data to smart contracts. So we're working on the data side too, but actually providing it onto the blockchain. Right, and this problem we solve, I would say, are more like the fundamental issue of running smart contracts or building in Web3. Basically, we're enabling smart contracts to access reliable and accurate data from outside the blockchain. And I think the past year, you could already see so many, I would say, pitfalls or incidents happening if smart contracts or DeFi protocols do not have a legitimate or secure Oracle solution. And at the end of the day, it impacts their users, right? So this is the key in our mind when we developed Ben. Security is always top of mind, and to do that is via decentralization. So with us, if you use Ben protocol, we work with multiple validators to ensure that there's no centralized point of failure, and the data is always secure and reliable. Another thing that we really address, I would say, to improve in the space is interoperability and scalability. So I'll address it one by one. Interoperability, we've been working on it via IBC for Cosmos, and in the near future, we're going to launch a bridge for EVM too, so that our Oracle can interact natively with L1s, L2 dApps that need the data. In terms of scalability, I think we're trying to solve that, or we're solving that by increasing throughput of Band chain and having a dedicated infrastructure or chain. So Band runs on our own chain, and all the heavy kind of Oracle computations are offloaded from the requested chain and onto our chain. There's no competition for any other types of data. All of our data or like transactions that go on are really just Oracle. And I feel like this is, I would say, how we offload the load from what you guys or smart contracts builder are building. And I would say just let the Oracle solution part be handled by us. I would say that's what we're doing.
I mean, I think the importance of Oracle, I guess I keep going back to this like sophistication idea, but it can't be overstated, right? Like, what was Web3 prior to Oracle's, and what Web3 is like at post, Oracle's coming online is entirely different. And that comes with the ability to have like secure data. Like, you don't really hear about, well, maybe you still hear some hacks or like some
And it's really what
issues
we all
with,
we do,
but it's
right?
never.
Just Oracle solution
Yeah,
providers.
exactly. Yeah, and so like as we look towards the future, I'm excited to see more data fields come online and power like, insurance. One of the things that Oasis is really excited about is like how privacy and taking like personal data, putting it on chain, can enable like under collateralized lending, which again will absolutely need oracles. And so yeah, I think that it's these are good issues to be solving. And then there was one other comment I wanted to make about I think about like interoperability. I think that that's like a very interesting space as we move forward. So on the Oasis side of things, one of the things that we're doing with interoperability is, we're taking our ability to use confidential compute, and we're trying to work with applications to be sort of a privacy layer for these applications. So in that same exact gaming example that I gave before, you can imagine that like your game already exists on Polygon, or it already exists on Binance Smart Chain, or any of these large TVL chains, and maybe you don't want to move the entire game to Oasis Sapphire. Maybe, a lot of the game doesn't need confidential compute, but maybe like some aspects do. So you can imagine that same RPG game we talked about earlier, where like 90% of the game exists on Polygon or Binance Smart Chain. But then when you get to the point where you have to solve this puzzle or riddle, you move to Sapphire for that sort of confidential computation, where you sign an encrypted message with your solution. And then if your encrypted message is correct, a message can be sent back to the home chain, where like your NFT reward or experience is unlocked. And so we definitely think of cross-chain being like extremely important in the future. And I think that oracles, indexers are critical pieces of infrastructure for enabling these sort of cross-chain modular applications to exist. But yeah, so I just wanted to give those thoughts. But I also wanted to maybe get some more insights on what makes both of your projects, Covalent and Band, unique compared to similar services. What do you guys think is the differentiator between your projects and other projects in the indexing and Oracle space?
I can begin. So basically, I see the Covalent product, what we see ourselves as providing aggregator data. So if you're a builder in Web3 or even a Web2 developer that's recently gone into the Web3 space, you'll realize that when you query for on-chain data, you use these things called JSON RPC. Endpoints, right? And they're really good. We all rely on them to get on-chain data, but the problem is that they use a point query method where, to get a token of one address, like let's say my address, right? I need to provide the input data of not only my own address, but also the token address and also the contract ABI of the token. So what if I hold 50 tokens? You're basically looping through 50 calls and 50 ABIs and contract addresses. So like from a developer experience perspective, that's just a nightmare, right? Especially if like your product needs to maybe just show one page of your users' tokens, and that's not a core feature of your product, but you just need to get it out there and get it quick. So that's where the Covalent API comes in. We provide that aggregated data for these kind of use cases where you can, basically outsource that kind of data gathering to us and focus on your UX or the business problem that you're trying to solve. So what kind of data that we provide, like I said, like tokens, balances, NFTs, all transactions of an address, all transactions in a block, all log events of a contract address. So it's very user-centric. And by user, I mean developer-centric. So that makes us unique compared to the JSON RPC services, right? And also compared to other aggregated data providers, we support over 90 plus chains. So we support Oasis Sapphire, which means that you can get all kinds of on-chain data if you're a builder from the Sapphire network, right? That makes your life really easy. So that makes building cross-chains application also really simple. That's how I see us being unique in terms of offering.
Awesome, awesome, and fun. What about for Band? What do you think makes Band different compared to like other Oracle providers, architecturally, technologically, and all that?
Okay, so just emphasizing again, it's on-ramp off-ramp data. So from Band side, We're an Oracle solution that provides data onto to the blockchain. I would say, actually, for me, we're really open for our customers to choose whichever Oracle makes sense for them. And also, if they need multiple Oracles, we've seen some customers use multiple Oracles too and aggregate it for their own particular protocol, depending on their how they want to design it. But some of the key features that I would say make Band stand out is, like, number one is cross-chain compatibility. Like, we are also designed to be interoperable and cross-chain. So it means that if you're a protocol building on multiple chains, as you were saying previously, Will, it makes sense to use Band because we can provide on multiple Cosmos EVM substrates. Number two is customizability. Like, developers can customize their Oracle's solution based on their needs. From what we have been working with, different protocol really requires very different nuances of the price feeds. Also, number three is, again, decentralization and security. We have a decentralized network, and we work with multiple validators that we trust. I would say the next one is scalability and speed. Again, we designed the Band chain for high throughput, low latency, and we try as much as we can, because it is a business, to be cost effective too, enabling developers to access data really quickly, really efficiently. And last but not least, actually, we do offer services, maintenance, a full team working 24/7 around the clock if our customers have any issue. I think that's how we differentiate ourselves.
Awesome. Yeah, I think those are quite a few amounts of differentiations. But yeah, I think that we're really excited to have both Covalence and Band in our ecosystem as infrastructure partners. And we're excited to see like the really cool new use cases that can come with the combination of indexed on-chain data. Scalable and secure off-chain data, as well as this new capability for confidential computation. So the next thing I think though, also Leibing, you mentioned a bit about like Covalent being useful for like cross-chain applications. And my understanding is that Covalent actually sort of has focused on this from the technological side. Would you say this is correct? And if so, like how exactly are you doing that?
Yep, absolutely correct. Just with a slight correction, because we are read-only API, right? So we don't write to any blockchain. So I think the term here would be we empower multi-chain applications. Cross-chain typically is when you say you do a transfer from one chain to another, and those will be like bridging solutions, and sometimes oracles help with that as well. But for us, because we're read-only API, we enable you to build like cross-chain displays. Let's say you're building a wallet, you can display the balances of a user across like up to 90 chains, all with like just a couple of API calls, right? And that is the true benefit, I suppose, of using Covalent.
Yeah, I can attest to that as well. I even had a meeting earlier today with a gaming project, potentially looking to launch on Oasis, and they basically said like we need an indexer that supports both the chains that we're currently on as well as Oasis, because yeah, if we want to create this multi-chain world and these modular applications, it's important to have all. Cross, I guess, multi-chain compatibility and these sort of things. So I applaud you guys for
Absolutely.
these efforts. Awesome. So moving on, I did want to help our listeners get an idea of what types of applications can make use of both Covalent APIs and Band data feeds. Like, which what applications are using what types of applications are using it today, as well as, what sort of applications do you think that you'll be empowering in the future? So maybe Lei Bing, if you want to start, and then yeah, we can hear from Fan as well.
Okay, no problem. So applications that can make good use of Covalent are basically anything, any dApp that you make, right? You've got a Solidity backend. If you're developing for EVM compatible layers like Sapphire, right? You've got a Solidity backend. And then you'll stumble upon this problem. Okay, so how do I display certain data for my users? One a good example is the info.uniswap.com. Like everyone can use Uniswap to sort their tokens, but via their front end info.uniswap layer, we get to see charts, we get to see the number of pools, the TVL, etc. All these data points are available through Covalent API. You see bridging solutions, right? It's a dApp in the backend. It's a cross-chain dApp in the backend. But every time you want to do a bridge, there will be a page which asks, like, shows the number of tokens that you have. Something like this can be made very easily with just one API call, right, per user. So any application, any dApp that requires a front-end UI is a perfect kind of use case for the Covalent API.
So, like, pretty much every, large application, gaming, DeFi, wallets, even like portfolio aggregators, like I think Skytail, Zapier, these type of applications. Are there any other sectors that I missed that, you think would be, I mean, I know like pretty much it can be useful everywhere, but are there anyone else that you see that's like using it today? Any large sectors?
You've covered them pretty broadly.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And fun. So, like, what do you think about in terms of, yeah,
For Ben.
what are the large use cases? Yeah.
So the existing one that we see a lot is DeFi platform and protocols. We either work with L1s so that we can support their smart contract dApps, or we work directly with the dApps. And it's mostly DeFi, right? If you want to do lending, borrowing, perpetuals, you would need an Oracle. And actually, just trying to draw on what you were talking earlier, actually, we also have a VRF, which is verifiable random function. It sits also on, it's an application or use case that be built on top of the Oracle. And it basically generate a random number. So this would serve gaming and gaming platform and any sort of dApps that's trying to build in-game randomness. And then the last one that we have been seeing, and I would be really more excited to see more, is social media and privacy. So we've had one of our customer or partners use us to verify social media profile. Like they have a profile module on the application, and they've leveraged Band Protocol to verify that these people, the profiles on their platform, are real people and have accounts, like social media accounts on Web2 that are verified, basically. So in that sense, I think if you're building like a profile module or wallet, Band could work for you too.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I actually didn't know that, but that really gets my mind like racing on turn, like using Band for the formal verification, and then you could like use confidential smart contracts for like data management or like verified credentials and these type of things. I think there's like a lot of synergy there with the social media stuff, and I think that I guess like Web3 social media has been a long theorized use case, but we haven't really seen it yet. And I'm hoping with these like additional tools, this we see that grow to, a very large sector similar to like DeFi or gaming as well. But you did mention VRF, which was actually the place that I wanted to go next. How can developers on Oasis integrate Band VRF into their projects today?
So we have a lot of available information and documentation on our website, but actually, if you were to need support, you can always contact our ecosystem developers. Join our Discord or just email us at bd@band.protocol for the easiest way, because we can also help you set up and we can also share dedicated resources to help. Yeah, but we are available on multiple testnets, and if you don't need support or help on that front, the documentation's online, actually would already get you started.
Awesome. I hope to see lots of people make use of this technology, because I think that just like price feeds, VRF is, you know, a critical piece to building, like the idea of like just bringing more and more things on chain, you know, offering high integrity and trustlessness.
And if you want to build like a fun, engaging game, it's really, I think, required to incorporate. And we're available on Oasis. So I would love to see people leveraging it and using it, and seeing new use cases, is always quite interesting.
Yeah, I very much agreed there. So the next area I wanted to explore was, you know, I talked a bit about Oasis. I talked about a bit about different use cases and confidentiality and privacy and all that. But we've seen that, you know, there's not just Oasis. There's a lot of different privacy-focused networks now, Secret, Aleph Zero, Aztec, etc. I wonder if, you know, outside of the scope of what I've talked about today, you guys have seen this sort of shift in Web3 towards privacy, or like this, you know, I guess, emerging field, I guess is a better way of saying it. And if you have thought about it, like what role do you guys think indexing and data oracles, data aggregators, and these type of things play a role in these privacy-focused blockchains?
Maybe I'll begin first. I think it's obviously like a pretty philosophical question, right? Like privacy and transparency are sort of like, you know, at odds with each other sometimes, right? We want transparency, but at the same time, we also want privacy. They're both, I suppose, like good values. So, which is what makes it interesting, because there are many ways in which, I guess, like pure transparency is an absolute nightmare. Like the use case that you mentioned, Will, earlier, for instance, you know all your enemies' moves. That makes certain use case not possible, right? But there's also more malicious cases, like let's say your address gets exposed, and then that if you're a whale, lots of hackers would then start to really target you. And if there's any kind of like IDing your address to any real world identification, a lot of bad things might happen. So you can totally see the need for privacy there. But at the same time, you know how privacy can be completely exploited to have this shadowy financial system. So yeah, on both extremes, it's not good. So we need like a solution in the middle. And that's where I believe, like, for instance, us indexing Sapphire is pretty interesting, because you guys would have like a layer which is private, but us indexing a private compatible blockchain, of course, I don't think I've explored the actual data that's being generated from this further, and I invite all the fellow participants and devs who are interested in this to begin using the Kubernetes API to see what kind of on-chain data you can get from Sapphire, and how that differs from, like, let's say your general EVM, Ethereum chains or Polygon chains, which does not have privacy kind of like settings enabled, right? And it's within this very interesting tension that we see a whole new kind of like use case. I think I'm still making up my mind on this topic, but I think it's a fascinating topic.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's as you said, philosophical, right? Like it's going to take time. Just like when the EVM first came out, it took some time to understand, like, you know, what the right approach to different infrastructure and different applications was. I think how to interact with privacy chains will be similar. But I'm excited to see, all the great work that's going to come in this space. But yeah, I'd love to hear also
Absolutely.
from you, Fawn, about like what do you think about use cases with privacy in oracles? Does it open up new use cases? Does it just share, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. So I think Liebing already addressed data access and data aggregation, and he's absolutely right. But for oracles, I think it's moving on from just being a theoretical thing to actually we're seeing it at play already. So with regards to Oracle usage and roles, it's quite simple and clear. It's verification. So you can use BAN Oracle's network to provide proven verification of users or transactions or whatnot by accessing off-chain data without having to review the private details that you were saying. It's like a two opposing thing, right? We can verify it, whereas we can still mask and ensure privacy to the people. So as blockchain networks become more privacy enabled, I really think Oracle would play like an important role in enabling this network to interact with external data sources without compromising user privacy. Yeah, we really bridge this gap by in like a secure and centralized decentralized way. Like I mentioned, one of our partners, they're called Desmos actually, have been using it in trying to build out a Web3 social media. So they're trying to balance between transparency and also privacy, leveraging verification using an oracle, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I guess I'm just very excited to see if there's potentially the ability to bring different types of data or more niche
Yeah.
data on chain with
Yeah.
privacy. Like, I think social media is a great place to start, but there might be other areas as well. Maybe.
That's exactly what will be interesting in the future. So honestly, we've currently provide for DeFi because there's an uptake or a need, market need for price feed data. But actually, as the industry evolve, oracles can do so much more than that, right? For GameFi, it's the VRF to introduce randomness, even in NFT minting, sorry. And for privacy network, it's these kind of other data that is used to verify the profiles.
Yeah, and even with VRF, like one of the cool things that can probably be done is you can have confidential VRF. So like you can make a random number request, but keep it sort of encrypted for the duration of the game. So you could create a VRF request for the entire, I don't know, deck of cards, right?
Yeah.
And keep that, confidential now for, whatever, 600 blocks, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a cool new use case. And I'm sure there's tons of other
It's interesting you mentioned that actually, because as part of, let's say a way, like we also find solutions that our partners need, right? If let's say someone is building a breeding game, this is really, really common. You don't have to use or request one random outcome per breed, right? You can actually do like at one time as a seed. So you know exactly the universe of the different solutions provided the different pairing. But that part obviously is then kept for the game designers, and the users only know the end results, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm interested to see how that sort of space develops and all these other use cases. And then the other one little nuance or comment I wanted to make is actually something about what Lei Bing said, which is and you mentioned it as well, Fawn, is that it's a balance between transparency and privacy. And it reminded me, I guess, of I think Aristotle had this idea that basically, the virtue is found at the median between two vices. So in this case, absolute transparency is probably a vice, and absolute privacy or confidentiality is probably a vice. And the right sort of composition is somewhere in the middle. And probably each use case has a different, composition or a different balance between these two. Maybe in DeFi, you'll need more privacy, whereas in gaming or NFTs, maybe you want more transparency. I don't know what it'll look like, but it was just, yeah, just wanted to make that comment that it reminded me like of this sort of famous idea by Aristotle. But yes, I guess switching gears a little bit, I was wondering if you guys had anything to share, like on the product side. Is there anything upcoming that you guys are looking to launch, or basically, what's next on the roadmap for Covalent and Band?
On Covalent's front, our mission is quite simple. More chains, better design API, faster response time, right? And so basically, it's about ensuring that your apps are really the zippiest you can get in terms of getting the data, and also your life as a developer is the simplest. And if you need a certain use case, which is why our product team is constantly sometimes piecing together different kinds of like combinations of data together to fit specific use cases. So you can go onto our documentation to check out all our existing endpoints. That's covalenthq.com/docs/API. And you can try them out, see the kind of data. And also, we are developing this new series called Class C endpoints, which allows you to get protocol-specific data for the likes of Curve, Aave, Balancer, Instadap, Frax, Lido, etc. So before that, I suppose getting all these data like will be quite difficult. But with these new endpoints, you can integrate these DeFi functions into your application and wallets really quickly. That's the pipeline on our side.
Awesome.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Happy to hear what's coming on, Pat.
Okay, so on Band side, we are compounding on interoperability. We released our roadmap this year. We're building three integration tools, just bringing IBC to everyone in Cosmos, and also building a similar thing via bridge contract for EVM so that our users can access the Band Oracle in a more seamless manner and like more native too. In summary, I would say we're also trying to provide self-service modules here, if I may. And then moving on, we're also looking at how to integrate with CK EVMs and if we were to support them too. On the data side, we might be soft launching a testing data marketplace soon. Currently, we onboard data from like premium data sources, and we work directly with data providers. There's just been a discussion if we should open it up to the public or like other business partners to also provide data for us. It would also help with utility or tokenomics of them, I would say.
Very cool. I guess one question I would have is in this cross-chain interoperability and IBC, is your goal to provide data on every chain, or does that maybe potentially serve as a way where, like, you can make a call on one chain, or you can get data put on one chain, and then a message can be sent to a chain B that you're not integrated with yet, and it can be used there? Or, like, how do you see, what use cases do you see with this interoperability?
With IBC, this is specific to Cosmos, but the fact that we are connected to the Cosmos zone, any other Cosmos chain can also access us natively. So it doesn't mean like you have to go through another chain and so on and so forth. But the end goal is to be able to provide to as many chains as possible in a mixture between service and self-service models, so that people can also, build or be creative with what they want to do and the use cases they want to try out, despite, let's say, what Band Protocol as a company, as a project, as a foundation is doing. For example, like Desmos that I just mentioned, They actually started the project and did it first by themselves before even requesting help on some topics.
Oh, that's very cool. So basically, anyone who exists on Cosmos, and probably what's really cool is anyone who will exist on Cosmos can sort of I guess like create use cases for themselves and help it. I guess that helps a lot with like scaling in the sense that like, there's Ben doesn't have to take on the entire task of creating all these price feeds themselves. People can, if it's like a low priority or it's like a, proof of concept new idea, there's still a way to do it even if there's not like a large amount of technical backing that already exists or anything like that.
In one word, the
Very cool.
foundation want to create open source tools.
Yeah, and I think that's very much goes in like the ethos of Web3. That's really like why we're all here, right? It's like open source and just driving adoption, driving new use cases, and creating like a sort of like composable Lego functionality for the entire space. But yeah, so wanted to just hit on a few other topics real quick. So maybe I guess that's maybe a little off topic, but we're going to be having a privacy for Web3 hackathon coming up that's focused on these cross-chain use cases for privacy and confidential compute, where applications can sort of offload their confidential compute needs from other EVM networks and use Oasis to do that. So maybe I was wondering, we talked about some use cases, but I was wondering if you could share what privacy-enabled applications you think would be cool, and maybe that can serve as like an some ideas or inspiration for developers in the chat who might be wanting to participate in the hackathon.
It's really interesting. Privacy for Web3 hackathon, and off the top of my head, I can think of two use cases. Maybe the first one is I've seen this app being built a lot in hackathons, but the main critique I had of this idea then was that you can't upload such confidential documents on chain, and the app is like a healthcare kind of like record kind of app where you basically, instead of the health records of an individual being on some hospital database, it's on chain and it's owned by you, the person who has those health records, right? So with a privacy focused blockchain, definitely like a healthcare dApp would be pretty much needed, right? Or can be built with it. And that extends into other things, right? Where you hold sovereign of like specific data, like let's say can let me think. Maybe certain other kinds of like records or certification where it does hold confidential information, but it makes sense for you to own it instead of it being on a government database, for instance. So that's one bunch of ideas. The second idea is certain dApps which requires perhaps like specific GPS location data. The one I thought of was like, for instance, if you have items rental kind of like application where the items are kind of like put on chain and then you can use a certain like collateralization mechanism to ensure that the items are returned, and if you don't return it, the value is gone and it's all linked to like your MetaMask wallet or whatever, right? And if the item is lost for certain items, right, you kind of want to access the GPS data to see or track where those items are. And this is not very different from those like bike sharing applications, but instead of that, that's all on chain, right? But the problem with having GPS data on chain is that it really invades the privacy. Like, no one wants to rent an item knowing that at every moment, anyone online will be able to know my precise location, which is tied to my wallet address. So something like this would probably benefit from having a privacy layer or privacy component to it, where only specific actors holding certain permissions and roles will be able to access that special data in special cases. For instance, in that case, if the item goes missing or something like that. So quite specific use cases, but these are just certain ones that's top of my mind. Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot, and probably maybe can even use banned data feeds for GPS or something along those
For
lines.
sure, for sure. Yeah.
Yay. I will carry on with some particular use cases then. Leping has inspired me. I would say if I can see a dApp that builds maybe like decentralized VPN or internet. So that you can provide a more private and censorship resistant internet for and then giving users a control over their traffic and also protecting their online privacy, that would be really cool. Just throwing ideas, right? And then so I used to work in Web2 tech as well as telecom. So these are the two things. The other one is a social media footprint or digital footprint that so many Web2 people monetize on. I mean, like I used to work for one of these Web2 giants, so I feel like if there's a way that you can incorporate some form of monetization for the users, I mean, it's your data, it's your footprint. You should own it and you should earn on it. That would be quite cool. And then I would say the last one is like a classic, like Monero, right? And I want to m mention it because it dates back so far. And like if you could build, it's a classic, but I still feel like it's really cool if it's privacy enabled. And you can confidentially send transaction without anyone knowing what it is. I still think that actually this one would have a lot of uptake too.
I thank you guys so much for the ideas. I'm happy that you guys came up with so many cool use cases and not in like the sort of fields we've already talked about so far. I think those are all great. In terms of, like the Monero use case, yeah, that one is particularly interesting because I think sometimes like it goes back to this idea of like balance between privacy and transparency. It's like sometimes things that are entirely private are seen as bad because they allow for skirting around regulatory issues or things of that nature. And so like one of the ideas I had that is possible on Sapphire is like building like a stable coin or a token where you can have the transaction be seen by only the receiver, the sender, and maybe like some third party that like ensures r regulatory clarity and that it meets regulatory code, but no one else can see it. And then, so in that way you create like similar to what we have in current finance, which is like that if I send money to my friend, he can see that transaction, I can see that transaction, and the person who facilitated that transaction can see it, but like no one else. It's not just because I send some money from my bank account doesn't mean you can see everything I do. And so, like, this is like one of the ideas that can be done with Oasis due to its flexibility and customizable nature in terms of the confidential state of smart contracts that can't really be done on any other network. And so, I 100% agree. I would love to see something along those lines built. Sort of, again, just rehashing themes, but like improving the sophistication of what already exists by adding this technology to it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I mentioned it because it's like one of the first few use cases that became famous, right? But I think in this kind of current landscape, if someone could adapt it to what is acceptable with the current situation, it would be cool to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. So my last question before we wrapped up is I think you mentioned you came from the Web2 space, being you're like a DevRel. I was wondering if you guys had any advice for developers that are now just starting to build in Web3 looking to expand their knowledge in Web3. What kind of advice would you give them? How can they get started? And how can they become, more capable in this space?
I think my advice is pretty specific to the data front, because in my role here at Covalent, I actually learned a lot of the inner wirings of what a blockchain is, what kind of data does a transaction emit from just purely looking at the data front, right? So obviously, you need to learn your blockchain languages, Solidity and stuff, and that will help a lot. But even if you were to just focus on the front end stuff or the higher level stuff of, we've got a transaction, right? You go on the Etherscan or whatever scan that you use, and then you see all the log events. Like, those things look like Greek to you when you first enter. But after learning about what are events, what are topic hashes, what kind of data is being transmitted in each transaction, you really kind of get pretty deep into how data is stored on chain, and that'll give you good grounds to learn about different actions of different dApps. If you make a swap on Uniswap, right, what exactly happens on chain? What is being transferred where? All these questions can be kind of learned from purely the data front itself. So if you're learning Web3 stuff today, learn Solidity, learn some front end languages, and then try the Covalent API. It's free to try. And examine the data and ask yourself, what does it all mean? Yeah, they'll get you to the level of competence the fastest, I think.
I would take a more of a attribute approach than Leaping. And I think moving into this industry, I think there's three key things that a person needs to be, and that's resilience, because things change. And a lot of the time, I've seen our partners or customer being under before, and I think it really takes resilience for them to come back up and resurface. Two is flexibility, and three is adaptability. Again, things changed quite quickly. It's very different from before. But I feel like all of this is just living in this day and age anyway. So it's kind of building quality. If you were to come into Web3, I think you need these three key attributes.
Yeah, that's some great advice. I echo that entirely. I think, the Web3 as well, although you're definitely, as you say, that's just sort of living in this day and age, is being fast paced. I think Web3 is a whole other beast. And it's sort of if you stop paying attention to what's going on for a minute, and where you get too zeroed in on one sort of idea, you can sort of miss the technological improvements, the changes in what is currently the themes in crypto and all that. And so, yeah, I would definitely agree that adaptability, flexibility, and resiliency are pivotal characteristics for anyone to have if they want to get in this space. I wanted to say thank you guys so much for coming here today, and give you a chance just to share any upcoming events, whether they're community or anything that's going on with your protocol that you just mentioned so far and I want to talk to everyone about.
So obviously we have just indexed Sapphire Network. So, you can all just sign up for a free API key and try out what kind of on-chain data that you can get from the Sophia network, as well as the 90 other chains that we support. We're constantly improving the product. And yeah, stay in touch, follow our Twitter, as well as our Discord, and hope you guys have a fun time learning from the data front or using it.
Thank you for inviting us to this AMA. It's been really fun, actually.
Anything coming up from the band side, Fawn?
Yeah, we're doing some product rollout that I mentioned, but actually before that, in a few weeks.
I see you unmuted your mic, but I can't hear you.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Libin, can you hear Fawn?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I can hear Fawn.
Oh, okay. Then I'll just continue. Strange.
Yeah, maybe talking. You can continue.
Yeah. So in like a few weeks' time, we are launching our community program. So would love it if you guys can join. We'll be releasing information on it on our official Telegram group as well as Discord. And it's just like, please come and join in our incentivized community program. There's a lot of things happening with Ben. Yeah, basically stay tuned. Sorry, Will.
Is Will okay?
Hi guys, sorry about that. I think I'm having some technical difficulties. But yeah, from the Oasis side, we got a few upcoming events. So we have Consensus in Austin in a couple weeks. We'll be having a few events there, developer breakfast, as well as some other things. So keep track of, you know, everything that's going on if you're going to be in the area, on our Twitter page as well as our Discord. And then we're also going to be having the Privacy for Web3 hackathon that I mentioned earlier. So if you're a developer, you want to try out all these cool confidentiality and privacy focused features, integrating Covalent and integrating Band, maybe some of our other infrastructure providers, we'd be happy if you go look up the Privacy for Web3 hackathon over at the Oasis website and register today. Thank you so much for joining. It's been great speaking to you all, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Phil.
Thank you. Bye.